It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
In the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
Yeah.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos, Anton Bettis with you this morning. This morning we are coming to you from Biograss, where they are offering their big discount on their big yellow bag. So make sure you take advantage of that today. And we wanted to start out the hour and talk about, everybody's thinking about their grass right now. Should they be putting down pre-emergent? A lot of people are putting in grass, and this is a great time to do that. And I wanted to talk about the differences between, I mean, how do you decide? Do I do seed or sod? And Ton, start out. What would be your recommendation? What are some of the things to look at when deciding whether you should just grow it from seed or do sod?
Well, anytime you have the option, and if sod is available, because the economy has been going so good in Utah that you need to actually place sod order sometimes several weeks to months in advance. But if you have sod available and you can afford it, always do sod. The soil prep is the same either way to keep it healthy, but if you have the money and sod's there, you always do sod.
Because you have ready-made lawn, right?
Yeah, I 100% agree with Ton. If you can do sod and you can afford it, that is the better way. It is more cost-effective to do some seed, but it does take quite a bit more effort, timing. You have to really pay attention to it, making sure that water stays on it. Same with sod. It's just you've already got that first couple of months. It's like growing vegetable starts, you know. It's just a lot quicker and more, you know, immediate to be having that lawn to use.
Right. It seems like there are a few areas that are more perfect for seed, you know, things that are flat. You have a large level area and maybe you don't have the money. Or
spring or fall, then those are the best times to do seed. And the advantages are that, like Hayden said, it's economical. And as long as you know what you're doing and just make sure that your system set up, your sprinkling system set up to not miss an irrigation, you're willing to put up with a few weeds until you get it established, seed can be an excellent way to go. You know, and that's what I've done in my yard in a lot of areas. And, you know, I've had good success. But some things you can't plan for. The first time I did seed, I used a ryegrass mix, which I wanted to play with it. It's super green and soft. But the night I got it done, we had a freak summer rainstorm. It was a 100-year rain event, and it washed my seed out. My front lawn, how it germinated, almost looked like a little miniature Arches National Park with all the channels. And people were like, so you're a horticulturist, huh?
And so that
ryegrass doesn't spread very quickly. You have to do the seed pretty thick. And so my lawn didn't really establish well in that particular spot. And you can't ever plan for things like that. You can do it a little bit, but if you're doing the seed, it's just that the seed's probably 80 or 90% less expensive, but you've got anywhere from 3 to 6 months of preparation and establishment before you get a good stand of turf.
Yeah, so it would be, you know, probably a full season before you'd even have a nice lawn. Is that right?
That's right. And, you know, there's a couple cases where I recommend to people, say you're renovating a lawn. You have an existing lawn and it's not totally dead. And you're trying to decide what to go with. Sometimes I'll recommend, you know, yeah, try seeding first, see what happens, try your hand at it, see how well it goes. And since it's so cost efficient, you know, you're only going to be spending a couple hundred dollars at most to try this. And if it works, great. If not, you're not out too much where you can still do a full renovation of tearing some grass out and then putting some new in. So I sometimes recommend that to some people.
If it doesn't work, the dollar amount is about like a dinner and a movie.
Exactly.
It's just not that big of a deal. One of Michael Karen, who is a USU Extension horticulturist at Thanksgiving Point, has been really unhappy with the particular grass mix he put in. Just not worked out well. And so he's gone in and aerated super heavy. And he's putting in grass seed at a really high rate, I think 6 or 8 pounds per thousand over existing grass.
Wow, yeah.
But he wants to get it established quickly, and it's an experiment. But, he's told me the same thing. He says, what am I out besides 50 or 70 bucks in seed? And if it works, I'm on to something. And if it doesn't, I'm out dinner and a movie.
Yep.
The cost of it. So
right now is a perfect time if you're doing the overseeding.
It is. And
as right?
Yes, overseeding and establishing a new lawn.
Okay, so with the overseeding, how do you decide how much seed to put down? I mean, can you just tell us how that all works?
So it does depend on the variety. Some spreads more than others, and you can put less for some varieties. So our Bio Blue, which is a Kentucky bluegrass, our most popular product, for a new lawn, you're looking at about 300 square feet per pound, and they're $12 a pound here. For an overseed, you're anywhere between 350 to 500 square feet per pound for overseeding. So 350 if you're trying to get a heavy overseed, 500 if you're trying to do it pretty light.
So what kind of prep would you do for overseeding, Tom?
Well, for overseeding, you're a little limited on what you actually can do, but the best thing you can do is aerate really heavily with as deep as plugs as you can pull. Because you need to be able to make that seed be able to make contact with the soil. And so pulling those plugs out, and in this situation, I like to personally leave them on. As you sprinkle, that soil will disintegrate into the thatch and things and help cover that seed a bit. I think, Hayden, you prefer to rake them off, and that's fine too. But in this situation, that heavy aeration is going to allow the seed to make better contact with the soil.
All right. Well, again, we are at Biograss. You can call us 801-575-8255 with your questions. We'll also take your text questions at 57500. Hayden, this is the day where you're offering the big yellow bag. So folks who are just tuning in, tell us the discount and how they get it.
Yeah, so this bag, it's usually $149 delivered. And for our listeners today, we are doing $20 off our first bag, and any additional bag is $35 off delivered. So you can give us a call at 801-562-9090, or you can visit us at bigyellowbag.com and use code KSL2021 to get that deal.
I love the black garden soil, but you can get other things as well in the big yellow bag.
Yes, we have four products. We have our black garden soil, we have a premium topsoil, and then we have two colored barks. We have a naturally colored one and a dark chocolate bark.
And it just doesn't get any easier than having the big yellow bag placed somewhere convenient for you, top of your driveway, where you can just sit. Ton, we've talked about this, and you can work through it all season if you don't have just a one big block of time.
That's right. Yeah, you can close it up if you ever need to put it away for a little while and not work on it, so you don't have to worry about it getting wet or anything. And it's great for that.
I saw somebody that had bags like this, and they went to the dump, and I thought maybe they were just throwing the bags away. They popped them open, and they were full of weeds that they had pulled out of their yard. It was easy. I didn't have to tarp it, and I can just turn them over and dump it and go. And so you like people to return these, but I thought that was very creative.
Yeah, no, there's a reason that we only offer. So we offer $5 if you bring the bag back. But part of that reason it's so cheap is that we encourage our customers to use them for yard waste or to have them around. We've even heard of people doing stuff like covering their AC unit in the winter with them. It's hilarious.
They're such tough bags.
I mean,
they're pretty hardy.
They're great.
Right. Okay, and again, the way to get your big yellow bag is at bigyellowbag.com. Input KSL2021 for that great discount. And again, we are back with more of your calls and questions next. 801-575-8255.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
So much more important.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you, and we also have Hayden Duffin with us this morning from Biograss. And I'm noticing we're getting a lot of text questions right now about people laying sod or putting down seed. One person saying, hey, I'm laying some sod today, guys. Do we need to put anything on the soil before we lay the sod?
Hayden, maybe this is one you can address.
So we have a... It's not necessarily required, but we do have a product called Sustain 464, which is a slow-released OMRI-certified turkey manure or granular, and it does a great job at helping establish grass. So you actually put it on, you prep your soil, and then you lay it down just before you put your sod down, so it's right in contact with those roots, and that kind of just gives your grass a little head start, you know, maybe make it establish a a little bit earlier than if you're not using anything. But it's not a make or break, but we do recommend that when you buy grass here from Biograss.
So another thing that people can look at is that if they're ready to lay the sod, the soil is leveled. It's what you do before you level the soil that is super important. And so if you have the money, a couple of inches of compost incorporated into the soil is just going to help that sod so much, because it'll help establish a topsoil underneath and just make it a lot more durable, a lot more disease resistant, a lot more resistant to insect pests. You know, J.D. Gunnell, who's frequently co-hosts, especially when I'm gone, I remember him saying several years ago when we were looking at a lawn, he says, how do you tell somebody that 10 years ago their lack of preparation is why their lawn is struggling so much now?
Next person is asking, would you recommend overseeding bluegrass in sandy soil to make it more drought tolerant? And if so, what type of seed would be best?
Well, it's not that you can put some Kentucky bluegrass varieties down that are slightly more drought tolerant than the existing ones. They're not going to be amazingly more or anything, but you can might get a little bit. But I think in that sandy soil, I would more focus on watering. It doesn't hold as much water, so maybe water three times a week so that water penetrates about a foot deep. And that will force those roots to go down deeper. And I think I would, if the lawn looks fine, I would just work with the grass they've got.
Right. Yeah.
All right. What do you think about products, Ton, that you spray on the lawn to help the soil absorb more moisture?
They're temporary, and a good, honest, hollow core aeration, hollow tying, so you're pulling out the cores, is going to be more effective longer term. I know that it's not as easy, but these they're basically surfactants, and they open up the soil temporarily, and then within a month or 6 weeks, they close back up. Because soil microorganisms and the sun, I suspect the sun also breaks them down. And so if I had to pay money for hollow core aeration or liquid aeration, my money's always going to the aeration machine because that's just going to be more effective longer term.
All right, let's go to Charlotte in West Valley. Good morning, Charlotte. What can we help you with this morning? Charlotte, are you still there? Looks like we've lost Charlotte.
I'm here.
Oh,
sorry.
Hi, Charlotte.
I'm out in the yard working.
No worries.
I have my gloves on, so I take my gloves off so I can work my phone.
Great. Multitasking. What were your questions this morning?
I was one of those that 20-plus years ago, we did not fertilize and take care of our ground before we planted seeds. So after my husband passed away, I decided it's time to get a sprinkling system and sod. And it looks great, except for about 12 places in my backyard, all in basically one area. It's pretty dry. It's like brown. It looks like hay or straw.
When you're wondering why?
Yeah. What do I do?
Well, you're going to have to investigate why it's actually brown is my first suggestion. And Hayden, did you have anything you wanted to say?
I think the first thing to do would be doing some investigation. And no matter what the outcome, kind of what you find, you're still going to want to, you know, remove any of that dead grass there and really try and open up that soil. So whether you want to reseed it or if you want to actually put new sod in, it wouldn't be a bad idea to maybe aerate and put some new soil in there to help if there was some compaction or if there's not many nutrients left in that soil. Any of those things are going to help you when it comes to...
The other thing I would check is the irrigation, because if it's all in one particular spot, you may have a sprinkler head or some heads adjacent to each other that are clogged that will also need to be checked. Right now, because of the rain and cool weather, you're not going to be able to know if it was drought stress that knocked it out. But the one thing, when you do charge your sprinkling system and get it ready to go, I'm not saying you need to run it, but you could run it for 5 or 10 minutes and observe those particular sprinklers to see if they're actually putting out a good amount of water. And then also, you may even put out some cheap just coffee cups or tuna cans or something in a grid system around those sprinklers, so you have 8 or 10 of them, run for 5 minutes and look at the difference in the water from can to can to make sure that they have an approximately equal amount of water in them.
Yeah, well, my sprinkling system hasn't even been turned on yet, and it's really quite green everywhere else. So,
well, and the reason we're saying this is that you want to get it tested and diagnosed before we're 90 degrees. And if you're going to have to replace that sod, you don't want to have to re-replace it. And so the two things you need to investigate are the soil problems and the irrigation system.
Okay. All right. And so do you suggest any particular fertilizer I put on it?
No fertilizer for now, because fertilizer is not the problem, because the rest of the soil is looking good. Now, this particular area, as Hayden said, could be compacted for whatever reason, or there could be other things going on, and some fertilizer may help out, but it's going to be something that where that sod is dead, you lift it up and just, you know, stick a screwdriver in it, see if it's wet or not, and you're going to have to look at it, because we don't want to automatically just default fertilizer, because let's say, and I'm not saying this is it, there's an old septic tank there that's leaching salts. The fertilizer is just going to make that problem worse, and that's why investigation is so important.
Okay. Also, one other thing, I have a Japanese maple tree. It's really important to me. My husband, my late husband, served a mission in Japan, and my kids gave it to me for Mother's Day. It looks good on a few branches. The leaves are coming out, but some of the others, it's just dry.
There's nothing you can, besides pruning those dry branches out, there's really not much you can do. Is the tree planted in a lot of shade? So it gets afternoon shade? Okay. That's the best you can do, but know that Japanese maples are super sensitive in Utah. And I know that it's especially emotionally important, but it may decline just because it's a Japanese maple. And if it does, you might look at getting a Japanese flowering cherry like Akabono or Kwanzan or some of these others, because those are a little more suited and would have a better chance of lasting 20 or 25 years.
Okay. Yeah, well, some of the branches have green in them, and then there's some that just, they're dry. I could even break it.
Yeah.
Well, not...
prune the dry ones out, see what it does, and it may be that it's just needed to get established.
Okay. All right. Appreciate you and your show and your time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your call this morning. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We need to take a break for the bottom of the hour news.
Let's dig around town with KSL Greenhouse.
Dig Around Town is brought to you by Utah State University Extension. Check out monthly gardening tips and online gardening courses at garden.usu.edu. Learn how and when to get a start on your vegetable garden with Virtual Vegetable Gardening 101 on Thursday, April 29th. The latest classes at garden.usu.edu. Find out more about the benefits of local scapes with the experts at the Conservation Garden Park on May 1st. More info at conservationgardenpark.org. Join an organic vegetable gardening course with Wasatch Community Gardens on April 30th. More information at wasatchgardens.org. And don't miss the Tulip Festival underway at Thanksgiving Point through May 8th. The festival features over 300,000 tulip bulbs. Reserve your tickets at thanksgivingpoint.org. Now, a look at this week's Quick Tip.
It's the right time of year to start a lawn from seed or sod. An aspect of this that is often overlooked is good soil preparation before you plant. Visit Utah State University Extension online to learn more about soil preparation and for all other things yard and garden.
You can also find the Dig Around Town calendar and more fun gardening info at kslnewsradio.com/greenhouse.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.